Good morning to you all. Well, the Feast of Tabernacles is now behind us, and we're at the last great day. Doesn't it go pretty fast? I like short titles. I like titles, and I like them to be short. So the title is With Gratitude. With Gratitude. Now, Diane and I have been to this site each about 8 times. It's special for us because we met here in 2007. We love this site, primarily because everyone gets to eat together, so you get maximum chance to mix with other people. So this has been a delight to be here again. Let's begin this message with 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11 to 12, and verse 14. I'm reading from New King James Version throughout. So 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11 to 12, and verse 14. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? So Paul here makes a clear statement as to the distinction between humankind and animals. A lot of scientists steeped in evolution just believe that we're the most advanced of the animal kingdom, but that's not so. God has placed a particular spirit in us which makes us different from the animal kingdom. That is the human spirit, which allows us to communicate with other humans. Now let's continue the verse. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. What that means is, if you read the Bible and you don't have God's Spirit with you, some of it will make sense, but you won't get full comprehension. When God has His Spirit working with you, then you start getting comprehension and you start getting clarity. So to understand spiritual matters fully, we need to have the Spirit of God working within us. Now, verse 12. Now, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, freely given to us, that means that when we have the Spirit of God working within us, we get certain gifts along with that Spirit. And I'll show you one of them. Let's go to Exodus 31. Verse 13. Exodus 31, verse 13. I recommend if you come into discussion with anyone about biblical matters, the scriptures I'm giving right now are great introductions. Exodus 31, verse 13. This is God giving instructions to Moses, and he says, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." Now, some people might just read right through that, but if you look carefully, it doesn't say that the Israelites are to keep the seventh-day Sabbath. It says Sabbaths. And that word Sabbaths means that it's the seventh day of the week and God's holy days. And most Christians don't keep the seventh day, as you know. But certainly, even a lot of the seventh-day Christians don't keep the holy days. They believe they were nailed to the cross. They were just Jewish holy days, they believe. And so they don't have to be observed. But if you don't observe the holy days, then you don't get the comprehension of what God has done, what He is doing, and what He's doing in the future. And trumpets, atonement, Feast of Tabernacles don't mean much at all to most Christians. So here God is saying, it says, "My Sabbath you shall keep, for it." When it says it, that means the keeping of the Sabbath. So to be a true Christian, you have to be keeping the seventh-day Sabbath and the holy days as we know. That includes the 7 days that represent the millennium, and today, the last great day, or the eighth day, which we'll be hearing a lot about in other messages. So that's one of the gifts that comes with receiving the Holy Spirit, that God unlocks to us a knowledge of His holy day plan and what He's doing with mankind. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2, but this time verse 14. So 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, nor can you know them because they're spiritually discerned." So it says very clearly that you have to have the God's Spirit working with you to get full comprehension of the Scriptures. And so most Christians either believe, well, that's all Jewish stuff, we don't need to do that, or they are not even biblically aware. Now, I remember I attended, my first feast was 1969 down in New Zealand. I had no other contact with church prior to that except two visits from a minister, Mr. Graham Marshall. I showed up at the feast. Lots of people came up, introduced themselves and said, "Hello, Wayne, don't try to convert your relatives." And a number of them said that. And of course, I asked them why, and they said, "Because we tried it, it doesn't work." Now, the reason that is because when you have the Holy Spirit working with you, things seem crystal clear, they seem simple and self-evident. Now, they're not if you don't have the Holy Spirit working with you. So when they went to try to convert their relatives using what they thought was a clear line of reasoning, something that made sense to them was considered foolishness by their relatives. So I certainly didn't make that mistake, because many of them had, and they created big rifts within their families, which sometimes took years to heal. So when you consider it, right now we have about 8 billion people on planet Earth, and God has called a relatively small number, a drop in the ocean, to give us this precious knowledge, both of the millennium and what this day represents, a time in the future when all of mankind, billions of whom have never heard anything about Jesus Christ or God, and they'll be resurrected and given the opportunity to receive God's truth at that time. So this is a wonderful thing, and we should be filled with gratitude that all these people, including a lot of our relatives, will get a chance in the future. Now let's go to Amos 8, verse 11 to 12. This is talking about something that's coming up in the near future. Amos 8, verse 11 through 12. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall run from sea to sea, and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it." That talks of a time in the future, I don't think it's too far off in the future, when probably the nations of the governments of the world will declare the Bible to be hate literature, shut it down, and our ability to communicate with the world by way of the internet and all media like that will be shut down. It'll be outlawed. Then people will search us out, and it's going to be dependent upon what we know here and how we communicate with them if God is going to call them. So that again should give us a sense of urgency in regard to the immediate future. Now we'll have one final scripture. No, two. Exodus 35. We'll look at verses 4 through 9 and verse 21. Exodus 35, verses 4 to 9 and 21. "And Moses spoke to the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is a thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord. Gold, silver and bronze, blue, purple and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate." They're at the point of building a tabernacle in the wilderness, and Moses asking for the Israelites to contribute to the building of that structure. Verse 21, "Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments." Now there's a parallel between what was happening at that time and what's happening now. At that time, they're asking for contributions to a physical tabernacle that would be a place for God to be able to commune with them in the wilderness. At this time, we're not talking about the physical. God is in the process of building a spiritual temple. And he's training us, and sitting here right now is part of that training, and he's working on us to get us to conform to what he wants so he can plug us into various positions in a future spiritual temple that he's in the process of building. So let's go to the last scripture, which talks about the commission we have as Christians. This has already been given twice in this sermon, so it's really, in this festival period, so it's vitally important. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So Christ gave the commission to the church to go out and preach the gospel to the world. And the holy day offering we're about to take allows us to accomplish that. So as I said, God can call many people, but if we have literature out there, it makes the calling easier, because then people have literature and they can then contact us and be brought into nourishing, nurturing congregations, and then God can work more readily with them. So as we give the offering, remember what Moses said, the people contributing to Moses, their hearts were stirred, they had a willing spirit, and they gave generously. So as we take up this offering, what I want you to do is be grateful for the priceless calling each one of us has. Be grateful for the precious biblical truths that have been opened up to us because of our calling. Be grateful as we see end time prophecies coming together, realizing that there's going to be a really dark time ahead of us, and that we have the knowledge that of what lies beyond that and the promise of protection in the meantime. Be grateful for the fact that we know there's a famine of the word coming and we can be prepared for it. And because we are filled with love for God and Jesus Christ, then we should be obeying him and give generously within our means. Don't be foolish about this. So God has blessed us wonderfully during this wonderful feast at the Feast of Tabernacles in a wonderful millennial type setting. And we've got the last great day in Italy. And so as we take up this offering, reflect on all these things. And we're going to have some special offertory music, but before I do so, I'll just announce how you can pay. Now, during the first offertory on the first holy day, Mr. Caputo mentioned Deuteronomy 16:16, which is a command that we are to give on holy days. Now, how do you give? A lot of you might want to give to the Italian work, and there are two ways to do that. One way is to put euros into the plate. Any euros put in the plate goes to the Italian work to be used for God's work in Italy. You can also, with your mobile phones, for those that have more IT experience than me, snap this and there'll be a clink and money disappears from your account into the Italian account. I think that's how it works. Yeah. Now, another choice. You can donate. Let's see. If you put American dollars or American checks in, they'll be taken back to America. Now, I should mention, no receipts will be given for money that goes to Italy. If you put in any other currencies, that will be taken to America also. And you can also pay when you get back home if you want to keep the money within your own country. So you have a number of choices there. Now, while we're taking up the offertory, we have the pleasure of hearing from Mr. Duncan McClanagan. My wife and I were in Tallinn, Estonia last year. They were there, so we had wonderful music every day, and they were a major part of it. So we have Mr. Duncan McClanagan, and he's going to be playing Mendelssohn's Song Without Words, Opus 30, number 1.